In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Dear faithful, Jesus today is depicting for us as a prophecy what the end of the world will be like. The end of the liturgical year, which we are celebrating today, invites us to look back to this year, to our entire life, and see in our conscience what is it for, what is it worth. We know it. Only two ways are possible after our death. Eternal death, if we have been unfaithful and neglectful, or eternal happiness with the court of the saints, if we remain faithful to the commandments. This will be decided forever at the instant of our death, with the particular judgment. Until this solemn instant, when we will give account of the time we spent on earth, our mission as Catholics is to live accordingly, to be a true witness of Christ, following God's will and fulfilling the vocation, the destiny He indicated us. The trumpet shall sound for the final judgment and the definite reunion of our body and soul, which were separated since the day we passed. The Lord Himself gave us that vision, not to scare us, but to gather us around Him, for us to have a share in the heritage of His saints. All kind of imaginative visions of hell, eternal damnation and punishment, we could have when we read this gospel, are a first good move for our conversion, as they are showing us the place where we might go if nothing changes in our life now. But they are not God's only purpose for today. Jesus is depicting the end of this world to attract us to a better one. Heaven and earth will pass, but my words shall not pass. He tells us that when all of this takes place, we are not supposed to be frightened. We are not supposed to be running like scared children everywhere the mobs tell us to go. We are not supposed to be believing what the gurus or Pauls say. Because Jesus tells us He will not be in deserts. He will not be in inner rooms, here or there, waiting for us, but will come like lightning. When we see any of these things happening, Jesus wants us to know that already He is near. In fact, He will already be here because He has already inaugurated His kingdom. And what He wants us to do is to build our lives on the rock of His holy word, so that whenever these storms occur and blow and buffet against us, against our families, against our friends, against the church, against the world, we will remain firm. Because we have constructed, we have built our lives solidly on Him. Heaven and earth will pass away, he says, but my words will not pass away. That's why St. Paul prays for us to be filled with God's knowledge, with God's wisdom and understanding, to be strengthened by His power and to live as a saint, shining, radiating Jesus' light, even with the sun goes dark and the moon is eclipsed. That's what it means to live in Christ's kingdom. It's to base our life on His words that will never, never expire. That's one of the reasons why, by the way, we finish every Mass with the second Gospel. Pondering St. John's prologue and going out into the world, remembering that in the beginning was the world, and the world was with God, and the world was God. Dear faithful, we have been living this month of November remembering our loved ones, visiting them in our prayer and at the place where they now rest. One more time, we paid them the last homage they deserved, begging the Lord to spare them of the darkness and to grant them peace forever. We have also been reminded that we are mostly to follow them. Let's not fall into despair because of the vision we might have of our own life and the just punishment it may deserve. Let's not fall into the opposite excess, being presumptuous and thinking too high about us, telling ourselves that we deserve the reward anyway. We place our life into God's hands, kindly asking Him for the grace. For the grace of final perseverance, preparing ourselves from today to our last hour by a good life, hoping that we will not be surprised by an unprovided death, but ever watching. The vision of the end of the world, which will happen, but we don't know when, can also be understood as the apocalypse of the sin. The apocalypse of the sin which is happening now and can be a real threat to our soul and spiritual life. Some evils are not to be fought, because they are too much insidious. They are too dangerous to risk ourselves in a battle we will certainly lose. They are especially the demons of impurity, scandal, and apostasy from the faith. Against these temptations, the most effective means of victory is always to flee from occasions. when we see this abomination, we must, according to the advice of the gospel, flee to the mountains. That is, to the heights of faith and holiness, taking shelter in the open hearts of Jesus. The mountains were a place Jesus loved in a special way, as they offer loneliness from the world and proximity with God. Several times in the Bible, God manifested himself at the top of a mountain. Moses on the Mount Sinai, Elijah to Elijah on the Mount Horeb, and Jesus himself fled the crowds to the mountain to pray, showing us the attitude that we should adopt at the time of temptations. It's particularly true when you are on your computer during night. Turn it off because it cannot bring any good to you. Now, what is this abomination of desolation? We are free to differ as to the meaning of the phrase. The phrase is in the writings of the prophet Daniel, so it could refer to any of the interruptions in temple worship thereafter, to the false gods worshipped, to the rippings of the temple veil by God himself as the crucifixion of his son, or and the destruction of the building. I would suggest, though, that the abomination should be understood more personally. The abomination is our abomination, one that we commit ourselves whenever we stray from God. The abomination of desolation is our society's turning away from God. That's true. But much more to the point, the abomination is our own turning from God whenever we sin. Nothing is as desolate as a people without God. Nothing more desolate than the soul devoid of sanctifying grace. A soul lacking faith, hope, and charity. A soul created for God, but given over to the devil and the world. What Jesus is asking us to do is to exercise our own enlightened self-interest and number ourselves among the elect. It's not God who sends us to heaven or hell. It's not God who sentences us to tribulation or to tranquility. We do that for ourselves. And our choice ought to be obvious. The trumpet shall sound, and with God's grace, will find us watching. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.